नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Little change of pace. We're going to go to chapter 16, titled The Two Doorkeepers of Vaikuntha Jayan Vijay, Cursed by the Sages. We're going to start with text 27. And this is after a dialogue between the four Kumaras, Jayan Vijay, the cursing of Jayan Vijay. Lord Narayana comes to the gate where the scene is taking place. He apologizes. It's my offense. I take responsibility for the behavior of my servants. The Kumaras say, no, no, we were wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. And they glorify. We often hear that the four Kumaras were Brahman realized, but they came very quickly Bhagavan realized. And the means was, according to the Bhagavatam and its commentary, just smelling the fragrance of the tulsi buds or manjaris and sandalwood paste offered the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, carried by the wind, that fragrance was all they needed. Then the attraction, so that which is in relation to the Supreme Lord has potency to stimulate ecstatic love. So they began offering prayers, honoring his position as, in short, Bhagavan, in different ways. And the Lord then responds, O Brahmanas, know that the punishment you inflicted on them was originally ordained by me, and therefore they will fall to a birth in a demoniac family. But they will be firmly united with me in thought through mental concentration intensified by anger, and they will return to my presence shortly. It's an enactment of a unique, one-of-a-kind enactment of a lila between the Lord and his intimate associate devotees. We're going to hear some more about that shortly. So, starting with text 27, Lord Brahma said, after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left that transcendental abode. Purport. The transcendental abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita and confirmed in this verse, is self-illuminated. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that in the spiritual world there is no need of sun, moon, or electricity. This indicates that all the planets there are self-illuminated, self-sufficient, and independent. Everything there is complete. Lord Krishna says, once going to Vaikuntha planet, he never returns. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha never return to the material world. But the incident of Jayan Vijay was a different case. They came to the material world for some time and then they returned to Vaikuntha. Text 28. The sages circumambulated the Supreme Lord, offered their obeisances, and returned. It doesn't say where they returned to, but they returned. Extremely delighted at learning of the divine opulences of the Vaishnava. Purport. It is still a respectful practice to circumambulate the Lord in Hindu temples. Especially in Vaishnava temples, there is an arrangement for people to offer their respects to the deity and circumambulate the temple at least three times. Text 29. The Lord said to his attendants, Jai and Vijay, depart this place, but fear not, all glories unto you, though I am capable of nullifying the Brahmana's curse, I would not do so. On the contrary, it has my approval. Purport, as explained in connection with text 26, all the incidents that took place had the approval of the Lord. Ordinarily, there's no possibility that the four sages could be so angry with the doorkeepers, nor could the Supreme Lord neglect his two doorkeepers, nor can anyone come back for Kuntha. All these incidents, therefore, were designed by the Lord himself for the sake of his pastimes in the material world. Thus, he plainly says that it was done with his approval. Otherwise, it would have been impossible for inhabitants of Vaikuntha to come back to this material world simply because of a rabbinical curse. The Lord especially blesses the so-called culprits. All glories unto you. A devotee, once accepted by the Lord, can never fall down. That is the conclusion of this incident. Text 30. This departure from Vaikuntha was foretold by Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She was very angry because when she left my abode and then returned, you stopped her at the gate while I was sleeping. Text 31. The Lord assured the two Vaikuntha inhabitants, Jai and Vijay, by practicing mystic yoga in anger, you will be cleansed of the sin of disobeying the Brahmanas and within a very short time return to me. It wasn't so terribly short, but report. The Supreme Personality of Godhead advises the two doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, that by dint of bhakti yoga in anger, they would be delivered from the curse of the Brahmanas. Srila Madhva Muni remarks in this connection that by practicing bhakti yoga, one can become free from all sinful reactions. Even a Brahma Shapa, or a curse by a Brahmana, which cannot be overcome by any other means, can be overcome by bhakti yoga. Paragraph. One can practice bhakti yoga in many rasas. There are 12 rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary. The 5 primary rasas constitute direct bhakti yoga, but although the 7 secondary rasas are indirect, they are also counted within bhakti yoga if they are used in the service of the Lord. In other words, bhakti yoga is all-inclusive. If one somehow or other becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes engaged in bhakti yoga as described in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-30. Kamam krodham bhayam. The gopis were attracted to Krishna by bhakti yoga in a relationship of lusty desire, kama. Similarly, kamsa was attached to bhakti yoga by dint of fear of his death. This bhakti yoga is so powerful that even becoming an enemy of the Lord and always thinking of him can deliver one very quickly. It is said, Vishnu bhakta smito daiva asaras tad vipanyaya. Devotees of Lord Vishnu are called demigods, whereas non-devotees are called asuras. But bhakti yoga is so powerful that both demigods and asuras can derive its benefit if they always think of the supreme, of the personality of Godhead. Principle to think of the Supreme Lord always. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Mamana Bhava Mad Bhakta, always think of me. It doesn't matter which way one thinks, the very thought of the personality of Godhead is a basic principle of bhakti yoga. The final paragraph. In the material planets there are different grades of sinful activities, of which disrespecting a brahmana or a Vaishnava is the most sinful. Here it is clearly stated that one can overcome even that grave sin simply by thinking of Vishnu, not even favorably but in anger. Thus, even if those who are not devotees always think of Vishnu, they become free from all sinful activities. Krishna consciousness is the highest form of thought. Lord Vishnu is thought of in this age by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. From the statements of the Bhagavatam, it appears that if one thinks of Krishna even as an enemy, that particular qualification, thinking of Vishnu or Krishna, cleanses one of all sins. Prabhupada doesn't provide the commentary of this incident with the goddess of fortune being prevented from entering in the presence of Lord Narayana. But elsewhere, in other Puranas it's described, and our Acharya's comment. Jayan Vijay, at least in the commentary, they're not always at the gate, but they're gatekeepers by their nature, and that's their service. So on one occasion, one pastime was, Narayana requested, I want to take rest, so don't let anybody enter while I'm resting. So they were very literal and strict about fulfilling that instruction. And when the goddess of fortune came to see Narayana, they said, sorry, you cannot enter. He's resting and he told us not to let anyone enter, but I'm the goddess of fortune and let me enter. And they declined. Pastime. And so Lakshmi waited and Lord Narayan woke up and she entered. And she explained to Narayana what happened and said, you should punish them. Well, they did what I wanted them to do. They didn't do anything wrong. You should punish them. He didn't punish them. But her desire was that they should be punished. Not in a get back spirit, not like that, but in the, they're representing you. And so the Lord was then fulfilling that wish of the goddess of fortune and upholding the prayer of the gatekeepers, Jain Vijay, we would like to serve you in fulfilling your chivalry or chivalrous spirit, a secondary rasa. If you like, we can do that service for you. And then the third, so by one activity, multiple things are accomplished. That's how Krishna works. The third was the Brahmana's curse. So they cursed because he inspired them to curse. Okay, because otherwise, they're Brahman realized. They're not disturbed by anything. But they became disturbed, which was Leela. It's like you could say out of character or impossible. They're Brahman realized. Not just, you know, elevated persons, Brahman realized. And when they became disturbed, they cursed, which was fulfilling their desire. So the Lord supported their desire, Jain Vijay's desire, and the Goddess of Fortune's desire. Now it's tough sometimes when you have multiple persons with conflicting desires to fulfill everybody's desire. But the Supreme Lord is expert. And all of it, the others were doing what they were doing by his influence. That's the nature of the internal potency, is it acts according to his indication. He doesn't even have to say anything. Just a desire, icha. And by that desire, then the Lord's potencies act. That's how it works. The potencies are there to carry out the will of the possessor of potency. And living entities are meant in the same way. We're para prakriti. We're Krishna's prakriti. We're para prakriti. We're not apara prakriti, the table and the floor and the bricks and mortar and cement and steel. We're not material energy, we're spiritual energy, but we're an energy. And as Krishna's energy, we're meant for the pleasure of Krishna. And freedom means to use our free will accordingly. And bondage means to use our free will wrongly. Going away from the Lord and going separate from the Lord. So then there's this discussion to the four Kumaras. This was all ordained by the Goddess of Fortune to Jain Vijay. I support. This is ordained by me. Because nothing can happen without the sanction of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual or the material world. And this is at the gates of Vaikuntha. This is the spiritual world. He who makes the law can break the law. As Prabhupada would say, the king can do no wrong. There's that saying. Of course, kings do wrong things. But in material laws, the king can do no wrong, in part because he's to be the representative of the Supreme Lord. Interesting understanding when Haridas Thakur was going to be punished by the Kazi in Puglia. He said, you're the representative of God. The king is the representative of God, so you can do with me whatever you like. You decide. You have that power. You have that freedom. Of course, unqualified kings spoiled the whole concept of kings, because they weren't representatives of God. They were tyrants and fallen without details. So people became disenchanted with monarchy and they came up with other models of governance. But the qualified king is so strongly connected to God that he is carrying out the will of God. He's respected in that way. So, in a very different manner than we normally find, in this little section, Prabhupada is speaking of when Jaya and Vijay went to the material world. They took the position of being angry against the Supreme Lord, and that anger was being used in bhakti yoga. I can give you many other references where they weren't engaged in bhakti yoga because their mood was unfavorable. Because bhakti is favorable. Kulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Anukulyena means favorable. So specifically, in Rupa Goswami's Sandarbha, Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains that the absorption in meditation upon the personality of Godhead of demons like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha or Kamsa and Shishupal is not bhakti because it's not favorable. Even if it's not, even not favorable, the remembrance of the personality of Godhead is so powerful that it can relieve one of all sins. So that's the main message here, whether characterized as bhakti yoga or not characterized as bhakti yoga. Remembrance of the Supreme Lord is very powerful. Let's say the opposite. Forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord is very powerful. It's carrying the whole material world in forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. Attempts to revive that remembrance of the Supreme Lord Bhagavan, that's bhakti. That which leads to favorable remembrance of the Supreme Lord. That's bhakti. Then the bhakti principle can be weak by both one's own realization and even by the teachings that one follows. For example, one may not have a clear idea of who the Supreme Lord is, or may have a wrong idea of what is favorable. One can still be influenced by ignorance. One can have different degrees of realization of that principle, or intermittently think that way and then the rest of the time not thinking that way. Unsteady bhakti. Anishtita bhakti. So there's degrees of that, but the bhakti principle is anukulyena krishna anushilanam. Favorably being absorbed in, or striving to become absorbed in, carrying out activities with body, mind, and words favorable for the personality of Godhead. And then achieving higher stages and higher stages of that striving to spontaneous, to perfect. It's right in the verse, Narayana is saying to Jayavijaya, you will become purified by your sin against these brahmanas, the four kumaras, the brahmanas. So what they did was induced by the Supreme Lord. We just got through saying that. They did what they did. Jain Vijay did what they did because they were induced by the Supreme Lord to do what they did, so they could serve the Lord in this other capacity. Nonetheless, he's calling what they did a sin. And in the commentary, Prabhupada's explaining of the offenses against the holy name, this criticizing or effing a Brahmana or Vaishnava, this is very serious. It's the most serious, and it's real. I can give some anecdotal examples. I'll refrain from doing so. Lives of devotees that have offended Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and Brijbasis, residents of the holy dham, crash land afterwards. It's a real thing. It real thing. So we require the association of devotees, and we require being careful to not offend the devotees. Unintentional is something else, but let's tell one story. Sachinandan Swami tells the story of he's from Germany. So one devotee from Germany was shopping in downtown in Loi Bazaar in Vrindavan town. And the system when you get on a rickshaw is you fix the price before you get on the rickshaw. You say what the price is, and that's what you give to the rickshaw wala at the other end. So the German devotee knew that system, and so he fixed the price. I don't know if you speak German, how do you fix it with a rickshaw wala who speaks Hindi? But he fixed the price. Then he got on the rickshaw, and they got in front of the temple, and the price had become double. He was demanding. Double. And the German devotee was insulted. And, you know, got angry and spoke some angry words, whatever that was. And then the rickshaw got in, you know, he tried to give him the amount that they agreed on. He refused. He put it on the seat of the rickshaw, and the rickshaw wala brushed it off the seat and drove away, angry. And that devotee fell down. He didn't know what was the cause until some time later, but he stopped his devotional practice altogether and became a wreck. And then some years, and then Sachinanda Swami narrates, I hadn't seen this devotee, and then suddenly I saw him someplace, and he looked different, his whole face was different, and where have you been? What happened? And this German devotee told Sachinanda Swami, here's what happened. I offended a Brijbasi rickshaw wala, and I fell down. I lost all taste, all attraction, I became a wreck. And then that I tried to keep chanting. I lost the taste, but And so I stopped, and then it picked up chanting again. Very difficult. But now I understand why. So, there's other examples. So, back to the verse and the text. Narayana is saying, even thinking in anger of the Supreme Lord, you, Jai and Vijay, you'll become purified of the sin of having offended these brahmanas. And very quickly you'll come back to me. Yena, tena, pakarena. Somehow or another, think Krishna. Manak Krishna. So, think of Krishna favorably. Even if it's in anger, it's not like that's a good choice on the menu, but even if it's in anger. But bhakti is favorable, so we don't want that unfavorable or anger choice. We want the favorable choice. And through association of devotees, where we're careful to not offend the devotees, and engaging in devotional activity, bhajana kriya, we can very quickly, it's a relative term, what's quickly mean, but in one lifetime, the potency is there in the bhakti process to become free from all material contamination and restore our pure Krishna consciousness. That's what the Bhagavatam is providing us, that's what the holy name is providing us, and that's what the bhakti process is providing us. So let's see if there's any discussion. You're on.
When I hear this offending the Brajavasis, there is a thought, Maharaj, what the Brajavasi is done is not necessarily right. I mean,
that's right. That's right.
So how do we...
Two wrongs don't make a right. My mother taught me.
So apparently when we see in that, it's in an offending right way, but how do we have to deal with such
situations? How do we do what?
How do we deal with such situations?
With such situations, you don't get angry at a Vrajavasi, even if they behave, you know, like that.
So it's not countering or... expressing ourselves is wrong, but reacting in that way.
Respectful. You know, it doesn't have to pay double, but you don't have to become angry and shout. Apparently that's what he did. German shouting.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, on this topic of sense, last night some of our Matajis, while having prasadam, we were having this similar discussion. Before coming to Krishna consciousness,
we did bad things.
We did, yes. So two things. One, it weighs very heavy in our heart that we have done these abominable things.
That's good.
And two, there is a fear that we don't know what reactions are coming
our way. No, that's not good.
So how to, rectify?
According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, regret is a form of Vaishnava tapa. That's good. Vaishnava tapa. But dwelling in regret, that's mode of ignorance. That's not elevating. Mode of goodness is not elevating. Regret says, let me not do it again, let me move on. And that even the thought of that regret may return from time to time, or may even linger or whatever. But let it be an impetus for bhakti, not a deterrent for bhakti. Because that's what fear is. Fear is a deterrent for bhakti. Because Krishna's, what is going to be the reaction? If I don't, it's not like, let me go on sinning on the strength of bhakti. But if I take to the practice of bhakti, all of that is appropriately addressed. I can become clean from those bad things simply by bhakti. I don't need to do separate anything, atonement or anything. It's bhakti. We're prone to make mistakes. It's, you know, stated directly in Bhagavad Gita. Even a person of good intention will make mistakes. So what about those mistakes? What to speak of other things that are, you know, semi-conscious or even deliberate mistakes? Bhakti is the medicine. You can take shelter there. In the what scripture tells us about what bhakti is and does. We don't need something separate. And then fear is gone. Because you take that fear energy and place it in surrender or shelter or submission unto Krishna. Same thing in it, that fear, and place it at Krishna's feet. Just like, you know, child can do with mother. And mother comforts the child, oh, it's all right.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is, like a person who is from childhood loves Krishna and thinks Krishna as his friend, but he is not ready to accept the servant of Krishna and sometimes engaged in some sense gratification things too. So what kind of bhakti he has?
Mixed. Mixed.
Yeah. No. So, what kind of bhakti he has?
Mixed bhakti, mishra bhakti.
Oh, mixed.
Immature. Something and something. Immature. So, the well wishers of such a person need to encourage the for Krishna part, and it appropriate for the person and the circumstance of that person's life to not threaten or scare or intimidate, but, you know, educate things that are over there that are away from Krishna. That's going to inhibit your devotion for Krishna. It's going to make life more complicated and unpleasant. There's consequences of that. So try to stay over here. And what ways can I be available to help you stay over here and not go over there. And so, training. It's like putting a plant by the window. The plant will start to grow towards the sunlight. Even you turn it around, it'll start to turn around and go towards the sunlight. Because that's what plants do. They need that sunlight. So it's same with the living entity. The need is the deeper Krishna bhakti, and as that grows and strengthens, the other diminishes, darkness diminishes. One can consciously work on diminishing the darkness, but it's really dependent upon increasing light. So that's the position and what to do. Next devotion.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. From yesterday evening class, one question.
Okay.
Will there be Krishna's, childhood pastimes in Goloka?
Does what?
Krishna's childhood pastimes.
Does Krishna have pastimes?
Childhood pastimes, yeah.
Does he have favorite pastimes?
Childhood
pastimes. Why not? No birth. But childhood pastimes, sure. No demons. But there's the sense or bhava of demons. And then the intensification of shelter taking of Krishna takes place. Krishna, protect us. But there's no demons. It's mysterious. Yeah.
Another question is from Jia Vijaya's case is special because they wanted to. Lord Vishnu wanted to have that pastime, Leela.
Yeah.
But in general, is that possible to commit offenses or sin in?
No. Possible. Prabhupada's explanation is, even in the spiritual world, living entity still has free will. Not like it gets taken away or gone. Or marginal potency forever. Marginal means possibility. But one doesn't. And his explanation is two things. One has learned one's lesson, and Krishna gives his protection. Okay, we're done. Thank you. Oh, something. Yeah, sure.
Guru Maharaj, for Jaya and Vijaya's case, we understand it's sanctioned by the Lord, and they also understand that they know what's the Lord's will and plan. Sometimes
they understand
what's Lord's plan behind that.
The Lord's plan doesn't say they understand Lord's plan. Doesn't say that.
At least they hear that I approve of this.
Okay.
The Lord.
Okay, that much they understand. Okay.
So when in my case, when I don't understand Krishna's plan or approval.
Faith. This much they understood, that he has sanctioned it. But the details doesn't say they understand. Same for you. You may not understand the details of Krishna's plan, but if something is happening, there's a sanction. A I don't understand his plan, but I know that he's sanctioned, because otherwise it wouldn't happen. You know, aside from, you know, I'm trying to be Krishna's devotee, an ant moving across the floor, somebody stepping on the ant or not stepping on the ant, has to be a sanction. Otherwise, they'll step elsewhere. So the faith is, I may not understand the details of the plan, but the well-wishing personality of Godhead Krishna is there, and as my well-wisher, resting upon my being his part and parcel, and trying to be pleasing in my activities to him, he'll help me. He's put me in the situation that's whatever it is, and he'll give me the intelligence and ability to navigate my way, whatever that is. That much. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.